Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, a special date, February 4th. Good morning, Kelsey.
Good morning.
I did warn you we're going to celebrate our anniversary today.
Woohoo!
For the station. So LA Talk Radio is actually 8 years old, and we're starting the 9th year. You know, I've never done anything for 8 years, you know.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool, you know.
That's exciting.
I know.
That is such an accomplishment.
Even my marriage has ended before 8 years. Was it? Yeah, about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
The seven-year itch.
Oh, I know. I hear about that.
Right? Everything is for 7 years, you know. They say also economic cycles are about 7 years. Like recessions and depressions and
oh wow
prosperity and stuff. So
interesting.
Yeah, I
that.
Know. If you noticed, a lot of things are based on seven. I learned that when I was studying the Kabbalah, you know, which is like the mystical side of Judaism and stuff, and it's got like its own numerology and astrology and things like that. So so I learned that we have a lot of things with seven, like the musical scale, for example.
Right.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol.
Yeah.
Seven colors of the rainbow, seven layers in the atmosphere. We have seven, well, 7 days of the week.
Right.
But that sort of comes from the Bible. So I don't know. But also the amazing thing is if you turn, you know, there's a way to turn letters into numbers, you know, so like A is 1, B is 2, and things like that.
Right.
Right? Like each letter has a value. So in Hebrew, they have the same thing.
Oh.
The amazing thing is that on the Shabbat dinner, which is the Sabbath dinner on Friday night, usually families sit down
right.
to eat, and they have wine and bread and, you know, all that stuff. And the it turned out that everything on that table with the Hebrew word is equal seven.
What?
The wine and, yeah.
Oh, everything. My gosh, that's crazy.
And it's for the seventh day, you know. So it's amazing, some of these things, you know.
Yeah.
It blows your mind. And I don't know how this all started, but, yeah. So seven is an important number, but we're celebrating 8 years here on LA Talk Radio. I remember the first day very well when we started.
Aw.
There were some people on other stations calling us monkeys with microphones.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Because my show
oh my
was
gosh.
Totally irreverent. You know, we started with like crazy stuff and sex and crazy talk, you know,
uh-huh.
just like no direction really. We were
right.
just saying anything.
You were learning as you go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but I mean, I had ideas of what I wanted, and the show has really evolved over the years. You know, I mean, when I listen to stuff from 8 years ago, it's so different.
I know.
You know. But it's been a cool ride, you know. And like I said, I've never really done anything for that long. So I'm pretty proud. But I can say I didn't do it all myself. Obviously, you can't do anything all by yourself, you know, when you create something big.
So true.
So, you know, I have some great people around me, and I'm really grateful and happy. And we've had a great bunch of hosts, you know. We always
yeah.
attract new ones and talented people. So
you have so many shows now.
I know. It's like 80 shows, you know. And people like to come on shows here, you know. So I never really realized what I created. But essentially, it's like a place for people to live their dreams, you know. Because
yeah.
people want to be on radio. A lot of people want to be on radio, but they can't, you know. Because how are you going to get a job in radio unless you have millions of followers
right.
and listeners and where you can attract advertisers and stuff. And here, the model is different, whereas, you know, you want to have your own radio show. You come in here, you have a platform, and you get to produce whatever you want. You don't have any program directors
right.
telling you what to say, what to do. things like that. So people get to meet a lot of new people, whether it's listeners or guests and things like that, you know.
So cool.
So it's always a lot of fun, you know. I like, in the evenings, we have a lot of action going on. So, you know, often three shows going on at the same time.
In our three channels. We're the only crazy people in the morning.
I know, I'm telling you.
That's funny.
Yeah. But things change, you know. Sometimes you have all morning shows. Sometimes it changes. People leave. New people come back and take different time slots and stuff. But all in all, I'm happy. You know, we've created something that a lot of people have noticed. We got recognition and awards and things like that. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
People have noticed us. I was invited to sit on panels for talk radio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, things like that. I sat with some famous people.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And then Talkers Magazine, which is the industry trade for talk radio, they ranked like 50 people that made a difference in digital radio, online and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Right? So out of 50, I was number 8.
That's great.
And, you know, that's out of the people above me are people that are very well known.
Right.
You know, like Adam Carolla and Tom Likas and,
sure,
and a couple of other people. But to be number 8 as an unknown was pretty exciting for me.
It is exciting.
It was very cool. So, you know, for people to know you're doing something special and interesting, and we're always renovating, you know, and, you know, new website, new app, the new video channel. So I always try to stay ahead, you know, and make it be what I would want it to be.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's how it turned out to be. And now it's a station that from day one I always enjoyed listening to, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's always fun and stuff. So I sit at home and listen to some of the shows. And it's fun, you know?
So it's great.
I even listen to ours sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes. But we've had some great guests. Today we're going to have an awesome guest. We have David Cruz from The Millionaire Matchmaker.
I'm excited.
And that's going to be cool. Yeah. Have you watched the show before?
Yes.
I know.
Have you?
Yeah, many times.
Oh, it's so funny.
I know. So we'll see, because he's got a new app that he's... a speaker for, or I don't know if it's his company, we'll find out, that helps you match people. So it's a matchmaking
app. I read all about it.
Yeah, so it'll be cool.
It's impeccable timing.
Yeah, I know.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Valentine's Day, yeah, they're timing it all perfectly. And that's good because they're holding a contest so you guys can hear about it and you get to go to a love ball, which sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I hope there's free food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there is free food and drink.
Yes.
In fact, I went to the website here, and they do have, it says dance, drink, love, repeat.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, there
Screw
you
the
go.
Food. Let's just drink.
Exactly. Exactly. So so that sounds like fun. I don't know. I've been using dating apps and stuff to, sometimes it works. Sometimes it's like, you know, you get like, I don't know, 10 responses, which is for you would probably be nothing. You'd probably get 1,000. but no, at my age group and stuff, it's kind of difficult, you know, because you go through more people and stuff. So I tried some and, you know, so like I said, sometimes there's interest. I've met a couple people through a couple of apps, but for the most part,
has it worked out? I mean,
nothing really. No.
No. Do you? What's your? What's
nothing
been your favorite
first date?
One really.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't even remember which app I used to get a date on or something. But there's a few of them. You know, I mean, Tinder, the usual.
A lot of my friends use Tinder.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have Tinder, you have Hinge, you have Bumble, which is the women making the...
Yes, I've heard of that one. You know, it's really funny because one of my older friends was telling me, he was like, yeah, I got on Tinder. And then I was like, just looking at a bunch of 20-year-olds. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad because they won't be looking at him. So there's never going to be a match. I tried that already with 30-year-olds. It doesn't work.
I know. He was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that there was like, you know, an age stigma on these things.
Oh, yeah.
But there is.
The thing is, this is if you want to have somebody older or younger than you, it has to happen through meeting in person. You
so
know?
True.
Because you're not, nobody's going to write on their laundry list, I want someone 20, 25 years older or younger.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, because nobody's going to go for that. But
right. And but I think in that situation, it just has to be one of those unique things.
Yeah.
You know, it just... It's
exactly because it's not normal.
It's not normal. No, right. It's not, you know, the usual course of things. And, you know, it has to be one of those exceptional situations.
Right. So, yeah. So I don't think anybody sets out to okay, I'm 25 years old. I'm going to look for a 50-year-old.
Yeah, no, they don't.
It doesn't happen that way. But if you go to a party and you guys meet and there's attraction and stuff, then it can happen.
Right.
Right? Because you're not looking at the age anymore.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, let me get into her pants, you know.
Right.
We'll worry about that later.
Right. Exactly.
But you never know. You know, I mean, there's... things happen all the time, but you got to tell that guy, you can look at 20-year-olds all you want. You're never going to get a match.
I know.
You know.
Not on that thing.
No, not on that thing. Even not on dating sites, I don't think.
Don't think so either.
Yeah, it just has to happen somehow.
Because I truly believe in like old souls and young souls and all that right. kind of stuff. So when you look at a number, like if I saw a number mm-hmm. that was, you know, 50s or 60s or something, I wouldn't even give them a second
exactly,
look. Because
exactly.
you're like,
it's not your generation.
Yeah, you're yeah. like, But if you actually were to meet somebody
right.
and you have a connection and it's not a number,
right.
then it might be a little bit different.
Yeah, and it can work. You know, it does work.
Ah, but, so it's interesting.
But yeah. But usually, you know, otherwise you just have to... when you're older, you have to open up your wallet a little bit.
Oh, God.
Be a little more accommodating. That's what somebody told me. I'm like, I don't subscribe to that.
This is my philosophy. If you want the hoochie, you got to buy the Gucci.
There you go. I like it.
I told one of my friends that the other day.
There
my,
you go, you know.
One of my older friends, and he was like, thought it was so funny.
Yeah, it's not free. What is it? Today's world, no free lunches, you know.
I know, but you know, that's a really funny that you say that, because I was talking to one of my girlfriends, and, you know, yes, obviously, you know, we don't want to subscribe to that, and there's a stigma and everything, and you know, nobody wants a relationship like that. I don't think it's a recipe for a happy life.
Right.
But if you look at the course of dating, when is anything free?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's true.
Age aside, like, let's throw out age. I mean,
right. No, I mean, if you're dating and you take a woman out to dinner every time you go out, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And you know, you get married and that woman is going to be very expensive. So, you know, let's put aside the stigmas. It's just kind of... I don't know. To me, everything comes at a price.
Yeah. Cool. Somebody's called me on my cell. I sure hope it's not the guest. I hope they have the right number.
Oh, no.
Because it is 10:15, but I hope they have the right number. Let's hope so. Do we have their number? No. No. So hopefully they'll get through. But
was it them or you can't tell?
No, I can't tell because the number's not on here. But... yeah, no, because I always give them our number to call.
Right. Oh, goodness.
But yeah, no, I'm sure they'll figure it out.
So are you doing anything for Valentine's Day? You know what's funny? They have all of these, like, hate Valentine's Day parties. Or it's like a bunch of single
really?
People. Yeah. Whoa. It's like a bunch of single people get together and, like, party. And, like, I mean, hey, why
yeah,
not?
Exactly. You know?
I think that's super fun.
Not everybody has somebody, you know?
You know, it's hilarious, though.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me stop you at that.
They're coming.
They're calling in.
Yay.
So, yeah, we're going to be joined by David Cruz. David, are you on the line with us?
Hey, good morning, Sam. Yes, it's me.
Good morning. I'm here with Kelsey, too. How are you?
Hey, Kelsey. Good morning as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling us from this morning? Are you in L.A., David?
I sure am. I'm an Angeleno calling from West Hollywood.
Oh, okay, cool.
West Hollywood. I used to live there.
Yeah, it's nice up there.
Beautiful city.
Yeah, so did you grow up here in L.A.?
You know what? I was born here in, I was actually born in Long Beach, but I grew up on a tiny little island called Guam in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I don't even know if most people can find it on a map.
Oh, my gosh. That's so fun. Did you like that?
I did. You know, half of my family lives in Orange County in L.A., so I spent most of my childhood growing up there. My dad was in the military, and then, you know, once I was able to graduate, go to college, and move out on my own, that was the first thing I did. And, of course, you know, I was like, I'm going to move to L.A., and here I am.
Yeah, there you go. And then you moved up in the world. So for those of you for those of you who don't know David, David Cruz is on The Millionaire Matchmaker. You're still on the show, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
it's still running strong.
We made a big announcement last year that you know, that Patty is changing networks, and we've gone from Bravo, and this year we'll be on WeTV later this year.
Oh.
Still no date specifically, but lots of cool new stuff coming.
Sounds good. So, how did you get involved with the show, David?
You know, I was originally on the show in its third season, which was when I moved to Los Angeles. It was one of my very first moves to, you know, the big city, as I like to call it. And I was actually on there as a dater. And I went on a date with one of the millionaires. I know. And that was the first time I ever got introduced to Patty and her, you know, team of matchmakers. And that was kind of my first taste of, you know, what it was like to be like on the opposite end of helping people find love.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. So you decided you're going to become a matchmaker yourself, pretty much, right?
Yeah, you know, I went to school for, you know, journalism, and I always wanted to be a writer, and I found myself moving to L.A. about 5 years ago, and I was single, I was starting over, you know, a girlfriend of mine told me to move here and just, you know, start a new chapter in my life, and that was about the time I said, I'm going to, you know, look back and, you know, look at my passions in life and reconnect with those, and I said I was going to start writing again, and what better thing to write about, especially when you move to a new big city, than about relationships and starting over with those. So it was kind of a perfect, you know, serendipitous moment of, you know, going on the show and being inspired by the date I went on and meeting Patty and her team of matchmakers. So I started doing a lot of writing and, you know, doing my own blog and website. And it just really was a perfect, you know, time to reconnect with my passion and then also a new kind of passion that I had, which was relationships and dating.
Yeah. Sounds cool, man. So so you've been involved in that and everything, and Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple weeks. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the app that you're involved with. And it's called Spritzer. And so tell us a little bit about that and how you're how you connected to it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always been asked, you know, by a lot of different websites or people to, you know, to connect with them and promote their, you know, their dating website or their app. And it was never really, you know, the right thing. And, you know, there are a lot of apps. I write about apps and dating websites, you know, all the time. And I feel like an app is born every 5 seconds. It really is about 10 to 15 a week. There's always something new. And a lot of those don't really resonate with me and they don't stand out. And when Spritzer came along, it really was something that stood out for me for two reasons. Spritzer is really about people connecting people that they know. So for all those times that you've ever had a really great friend that said, I'd love to set you up because I know somebody, you know, that I think would be great for you. This app is all about those connections. It's about empowering somebody, whether it's a friend or a neighbor or whoever knows you well, to connect you with other single people within the network. And I just thought that was a great thing. And the thing about Spritzer that is, you know, the most amazing thing to me is that it's for everyone. So if you're single, you can go on there and look at other singles. You know, if you're in a relationship, you know, it's weird to have a dating app on your phone.
That would
be, you know, a no-no. But, you know, like, that's grounds for divorce.
What you doing?
So, exactly. So with Spritzer, you can go on there if you're in a relationship and connect other single people. So You know, if you knew just a bunch of friends, that's a great way to connect that one good dear friend of yours and to help them along in the process because they know you best. And if you're single, you know, in a relationship, gay, straight, everywhere in between, doesn't matter. You can set all those people up via this app. And that's really what resonated with me.
Wow, that's very cool. So you get to play a matchmaker with people you know.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. And, you know, there's a lot of people that constantly come up to me, as you can imagine, are like, you know, they always are like, you know, please help me, please set me up. And, you know, not everyone can afford Patty's.
Exactly.
So this is kind of a fun way for me to, you know, to do matchmaking light, as I like to call it. You know, it's great friends that are close to me, people that I meet, and everyone I meet, you know, on a daily, I'm always kind of taking a mental note and I'm always telling them, you know, hey, add me on Facebook or, you know, connect with me somehow. And, you know, Facebook's such a great tool and that's kind of the platform that that Spritzer uses as well to connect people. Because if you're not on my, on the app, I can also find friends on Facebook and connect them via Facebook as well through Spritzer. So it really is, you know, creating an amazing network and constantly firing all the great people that I meet with every day and hopefully connecting them up with a love connection.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is that it helps build reputation, I guess, because, you know, like in dating apps, like in Tinder, for example, you get to see who your friends are or the other person's friends, who your common friends are. So it's kind of like some people actually look at that and they say, oh, well, if he's friends with her, then maybe, you know, maybe it's okay. And here you're showing, you know, people putting together other people that they know. They probably know both of them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the great part because, you know, I feel like I know my friends the best. And of course, it's hard to be a friend of mine, you know, and take advice from me because that's almost the conversation no one wants to bring up around me because if they're not getting it from me and they're not listening to me, I don't know who they're going to listen to. But they also, you know, they listen to me, you know, because I have that knowledge. And if I recommend somebody to them, it's because I know that that person will mesh really well with them. And it's not just me trying to push somebody on them like a blind date, in a sense. So, you know, it's kind of a fun thing to do with me and my friends. And it also really allows me to engage with all the other people that I meet and to connect them with great people. Because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, just don't have the time or, you know, maybe have not been on an app before and maybe I know them through Facebook or, you know, or I met them and I said, please download Spritzer so that I can keep an eye on you. And then when somebody right comes along, I'll connect you too. So it's really a fun game for me to do because it's right there in the palm of my hand.
Yeah, it sounds great. Now, I understand you guys also have a little competition, a little event that you're promoting. Do you want to talk about that for a moment? The love ball?
Absolutely. So, you know, again, when I connected with Spritzer, one of the things that we had talked about was, you know, throwing a party for Valentine's Day. And, you know, I like to call myself a romance enthusiast. I'm kind of a little obsessive when it comes to, you know, the world of a relationship and love. We all know that. Valentine's Day is like my Christmas. So, you know.
Oh, I love it.
I'm a little over the top. And, you know, I feel like all the things that I've been doing kind of encourage it. And, you know, let's have fun with Valentine's Day for once. And that's really what I said to Spritzer when we were talking about, you know, throwing a party. And this party, the Love Ball, which is this Saturday, here in LA at the Sofitel Hotel.
Oh, I love the Sofitel.
Yeah,
I love it. And, you know, it's really about bringing people together, just like the app. So if you're single, come, because I'll be doing some matchmaking that night via the app. If you're in a relationship, come, bring your single friends, you know, because you too can download the app. And if you think you find somebody else in the room that's single, then you can play matchmaker as well. Right. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a big party to bring all of our friends together that are single or in relationships and just have fun. Yeah. So like you were saying at the beginning, Sam, you know, on our webpage, it says, you know, dance, drink, love, repeat. That's exactly what we're going to do. You know, we're going to have fun. No pressure. It's not like a, you know, not like a singles night. It's not like a, you know, a dating, you know, what do they call those? Oh gosh, I forget what they call those matchmaking nights. You know, it's just one of those nights that's just all about fun.
Yeah.
So we're inviting everyone to come. You know, there's going to be a fashion show. There's going to be music. You know, there's going to be tons of things that I think people will enjoy. And I hope to really kind of take away that kind of stigma about like events that evolve around, you know, Valentine's Day. And, you know, if all things go well, we'll keep doing this and it'll be a fun party every year.
Yeah. But, and those parties are fun, you know, but I got to tell people, you know, I've gone to a couple of them. Don't go alone, you know, try to find a friend or something, because, you know, when you go alone to these events, it's like, you know, unless you really like outgoing and just join conversations out of nowhere, it's kind of hard, you know, you kind of feel like alone there and stuff. Even though it's for singles, take a friend or something with you. You'll feel a lot more confident, I think. So this
I always say that. Absolutely bring a friend. It's all about bringing what we call now the squad.
Right, the squad, exactly.
Grab a bunch of your friends.
Exactly.
Bring them all.
But you still have to appear available, right? I mean, I don't know how you do that, be involved with your friends and look available at the same time, but I think that's the goal there, you know?
we have a few tricks up our sleeves this weekend to make it very clear who's available and who's not available. So it'll be very fun when you get there, I promise.
Very cool. So this is this Saturday at 8 p.m., right? At the Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills.
Yes, that is it. Saturday at 8. That's the time. Come dressed. You know, you may meet your future significant other, or you know what? There's going to be a ton of other fun things to do. And of course, there's going to be a lot of photographers and, you know, fun selfie booths and everything else. Oh. You will enjoy yourself no matter what.
Wow.
I promise that.
So and there you go.
A lot of,
Go on. Go on. Sorry.
I was going to say, and plus a lot of my celebrity friends are going to be coming on. A lot of celebs who, you know, are in relationships. There's going to be some fun surprises this weekend. So I guarantee you, if you come to our event, it'll be one you'll be talking about, and hopefully you'll have fun. You know, and talk about it the next day.
Well, I will probably see you there, man, because it sounds pretty exciting. It's free. You guys can download and register on the app. The app is Spritzer, Spritzr, and it's for the iPhone at this point. And you guys, if you don't have an iPhone, you can RSVP at the Facebook page. You can find out more information at laloveball.com. And there's a lot of information there, and it mentions David and everything, so you guys can check it out. It's free, right? Free admission. And, you know, I guess people can buy drinks and everything and have fun. It's just like a night of fun for singles and everything. And these things can be fun, you know. I mean, sometimes there are like games and competitions and things like that, you know. So
yes,
that's cool.
It'll be very fun. And you know what? For anyone who's nervous, we got you. The first 2 hours of the night will be open bar.
Oh,
so you
have no
excuse.
Wow. Well, Kelsey's going to be there.
Oh, my gosh. Definitely. Oh, that's great. Love it.
Well, this sounds exciting, David. Everybody, check out Spritzer. David, are you involved with the company, or are you just a spokesperson? Do you have any stakes in the company at all?
Well, I would love to have stakes in it. I mean, as of right now, I'm just really great friends with them and a great partner. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what will happen right in the next couple of years?
Well, you're awesome. A great spokesperson. They better get on it.
Absolutely.
Keep you around.
Thank you so much. I love them. They're really great, and they're so inclusive. And, you know, what better way to connect people than through great friends? So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're going to meet great people no matter what. You know, when you go out on the town, it's inevitable you're going to meet some people, you know, and it's
absolutely,
always good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I wouldn't, you know, when I put my name on something, I know it's going to be great. And so I know we're going to have fun this weekend. I know Spritz is amazing. I think it's a great app. And there's really nothing else beyond that. I mean, let's all have
That's
fun.
Good, yeah.
And roll the dice when it comes to meeting people.
There you go. So we'll probably meet you on Saturday night, David. Thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you.
Tell people again where they can find you.
Absolutely. So anything you need to know about me, you can head to my website, finding-cupid.com. That's where you can find my Twitter, my social, all that other fun stuff, advice about dating and relationships, everything you need to know. And everything that you need to know to get prepared for Valentine's Day is on there, too. So head to finding-cupid.com, and that has everything about me.
Great. And you guys are going to be on the We Network now, not on Bravo anymore, right?
Right, yeah. So coming later this year, WeTV, here we come.
All right. I like WeTV.
David Cruz, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody go out and get Spritzer. Sounds like a great thing. I'm going to check it out and see. Maybe I can fix up a couple of friends too.
Yeah,
maybe someone will fix me up too.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll fix you up, Sam.
Thank you, David. David, all the best to you, and thanks again.
Thank you, guys. Have a great morning.
You too. Sure.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Fun guy, huh?
Yeah. Amazing energy. Oh, gosh. I love it.
I know. And it's exciting being involved in matching people and stuff like that. You know,
the event actually sounds really fun.
Yeah, I know.
I might have to stop by.
I know. It sounds pretty cool. So, yeah. So we were talking about Valentine's Day, right? Before we spoke to him? Or what was it about?
Yeah, we were.
I interrupted you when you were saying something.
What were we talking about? Yeah, I believe it was. It was Valentine's Day. And, you know.
Oh, about the parties that people throw when they're single and
I was going to say, I actually... have these two friends that met, ironically, at an anti-Valentine's Day party. Is that not so funny?
It is.
Yeah, and now they're, you know.
That's probably what it's for then, right? I mean, if you don't have a Valentine's, then you go to a party and you find one.
I guess, but I think, I don't know, a lot of the people are just wanting to, like, have fun. And
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's always open, I think, to finding someone, so... it worked out for them.
Yeah, good. Yeah, maybe I'll... this sounds fun. And Saturday night, I think I'll be available. Take a friend or something.
Yeah,
and go.
You should. It'd be fun.
I went to... the reason I brought up going by yourself is because I went to the Love Debate, which they have all the time, which, by the way, I think they're having tonight in Burbank at Flappers. I think it's tonight. They've been sending me news releases and stuff.
What is it?
It's a it's an evening where they invite or they cap at 100 women, 100 men. And it costs, I think, $40 to get in or 20. I don't remember how much it is.
Uh-huh.
And so they have like... I think tonight they have Julian Barbary, who's on TV here, on local TV, like Good Morning LA or something like that.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so she's going to be on there, and they're going to talk about why everybody's still single, you know. So that's what they do. They go from city to city and do this.
Oh, and they have it regularly? It's called?
Yeah, the Love Debate. They started one or two, and then they're all over the place. And... so I went to one event, and they actually, you know, I knew the few people there because they had been on the show. So they invited me there, and I went. And one of the organizers picked me to be on a dating game there, right?
Oh
you're a good bachelor. Let's try to fix you up. So I had to sit with my back to the audience. They picked three women, and I had to ask them questions, right? Or they were asking me questions.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So then I had to pick one, and if I didn't pick it, the panel would pick it for me.
Right.
So I had him pick it for me, right? Pick her for me.
Because you couldn't decide.
No, let's see, what was it? No, I think I decided, and then they decided they're going to choose one for me or something. Yeah. So I don't know, but the point is, the problem was I wasn't really paying attention to the questions or anything. It's just like, you know, there's too much attention on you. I was paying attention to that.
That's
so
funny.
I didn't know really who was what and who I should pick and everything, and they picked a great, pretty young woman. You know, I think she was in her late 30s and something, and I thought, great, you know, if they think we could match, maybe we do. So then I said to her hi after the game and everything. I guess I got like two movie tickets to go and see a movie or something. I don't know
That's
what it
cute.
Was. That was the prize. And we actually exchanged numbers.
Uh-huh.
And I texted her. But then when we invited the one of the dating coaches back here on the show, and I told her what I wrote her, she said, "You totally screwed it up."
What?
Yeah, because, you know, we started texting, and then I said to her, I said, "Look, I know that that it wasn't like we really chose each other. You know, we were sort of like fixed up. So if you're not into it or whatever, that's fine. I'll understand." And she says, "By that, you just blew it." You know,
oh, yeah, that probably wasn't the best thing to say.
Not the best thing to say. I just kind of felt like I wanted to give her an out.
Yeah.
But they said, look, she's interested if she's answering you.
Right, if she's even answering, she's interested.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And by saying that, then the woman, like if someone said that to me, I would think, oh, well, he's looking for an out.
Right.
Like, he doesn't,
That's
he feels
true.
Obligated. Like, he doesn't want
That's true.
To,
yeah.
like, go out with me or whatever.
Yeah, you got to really think about what you do and what you say, you know, and
yeah.
especially on text. Wow.
That's the thing about text messaging, and that's why I don't like it, because you can't hear emotions via text, right?
Right.
So a lot of things can be misinterpreted. And it just, to me, it's been nothing but trouble.
Yeah. No, it's true. And, you know, some people like to carry on long conversations on text, you know, and it's not, like, text is not for that. You
no.
know? It's just like
no.
to tell you something when I don't want to interrupt you by phone or something.
Right.
Know? But yeah, I screwed that one up and she never texted again. So you learn lessons, you know. But like I said, I went there by myself and I wasn't that happy with it, and then I went to another event by people that were related to that one. It's a matchmaking company as well, and they threw a white party in Santa Monica, which was really cool, right? So I go there. It was a summer, everybody in white. I dressed nicely and everything. And you go there and, you know, you realize everybody's in groups. You know, how do you break through and
right.
talk to a woman? You know,
yeah.
it's hard. So, and then I thought, okay, so if I came with someone, then I'd just be busy with them.
Right.
And, you know, and then I would look unapproachable and all that stuff. So it gets complicated, you know. I mean, somehow you got to go with someone but still appear available and accessible.
Right.
You know. So it's not simple. What do I know about dating, man?
That's why you got to go Saturday. They have tricks up their sleeve.
I know. And I'm going to take a friend with me this time. You can bet on that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I know. It's just the worst thing is to stand in the corner alone, you know.
Oh, yes. That's no good.
There's nothing worse than that. So, you know, you try and approach people. And usually I talk to people. I'm fine, you know. But sometimes you'll find moments where you just, you're alone there and you're going, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, and all the pretty women, of course, somebody's talking to them already. So,
right.
So, how do you do anything there? So, that's why maybe you just go to these events not planning on finding anybody, just going to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever happens, happens, you know? But, yeah, sometimes you just blow your chances, you know? I don't know.
Well, that's okay. Everything happens for a reason.
I guess.
I know it's cliche. No one wants to hear it, but it's so true. It really is. It's so true.
I know. Oh, well, what are you going to do, man? But dating, yeah, it's complicated. It's complicated.
It is. It is. Do you have any plans for Valentine's Day? Are you going to be in LA or are you going to travel?
I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. But I don't have anybody to really celebrate with, but maybe I'll find someone by the 14th. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Still got some time.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see some things in the news. I guess women are complaining that some prices for things are more, the prices are higher for women than they are for men for identical products. And they're saying that they call it like the pink tax, because they're saying that you know, it's sort of like takes advantage of women. You know, mm-hmm. the same women usually make less than men mm-hmm. for equal jobs, yet they're expected to pay more. And mm-hmm. they're saying, like, they found that some hair care products for women cost an average of 48% more.
Oh my God.
Almost half more than the same item for men.
Wow.
Like, for example, they found that female razors are about 11% more expensive than men's. You know, jeans cost 10% more. Even toys marketed to little girls and boys are different. And they're showing a picture here of two babies, rather dolls that look like babies. And this is in England. The boy one is $8.50 and the female one is $9.
Oh my gosh. Pounds. How crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's bizarre, and it just makes you wonder why. I mean, is it because they think that women, you know, value things that go into maintenance more, like razors and shampoo and everything like that?
I just think there's more demand, maybe, you know, like women buy more than men do.
Right.
I think, you know, usually clothes and things like that, they buy a lot more, obviously.
No, of course.
Makeup and things like that, but... But equal things, like, I just think because the demand is higher, so they raise the price.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. And, but that's unfortunate, you know. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people are up in arms about this because it's really discriminating against women. And it's true if, you know, if that's the case, then they're saying, you know, they did a study and they found that women paid 42% more.
Mm.
No, I'm sorry. They paid more in 40% of all cases. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, so your chance is about 1 in 2 that you're going to pay more if you're buying a woman's product or something.
That's crazy.
I know. So that's, yeah, so.
Well, we're used to it. It's been happening since the beginning of time.
Right.
But, yeah, it's unfortunate for sure.
But it's more an economic thing than a discrimination thing.
I actually agree.
It has to do with business and prices and demand and supply.
I actually agree. So I get that part. Now, the equal pay thing is a whole nother story. But
yeah, that's true.
But right. I mean, I agree with you. I think this is more economic and less discriminatory in that sense.
Right. But people always find things that are wrong, you know.
Yeah. So true.
Okay, where else in the news? I guess we talked about before about Playboy discontinuing their nude photos. So I guess they released the first magazine without nude photos. I guess there might be some boobs, but they're talking no full nudity anymore.
Oh.
So whatever that is. But what amazes me always is all these women that say, "Oh, I've always wanted to be in Playboy ever since I was a young girl." And it's like, really? You know, I mean, is that like a dream? I mean, what kind of a dream is that, you know, to be naked to the whole world, you know? And yes, Playboy does it tastefully and everything, but still, you know, I mean, what is that?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, you know, it's so funny, the whole nudity thing in general, because, you know, if you go to Europe or other places in the world, it's... no big deal.
Right.
Like, I have a friend from France who lives here now, and I'll never forget, we were walking on the beach
uh-huh.
whenever he first got home, and he was like, whenever he first got here,
uh-huh.
and he asked me, "Why does everybody have their top on?" And I was like, well, it's a little bit different here.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just such an innocent statement, like he genuinely wanted to know why,
right.
like everyone had their top on,
right.
And so, you know, it's in other places in the world, nudity is not so stigmatized,
right?
You know,
and I also wanted to point out that I think nudity is different from sex. You know, I mean, nudity is not an act; it's who you are. You know, and. I don't know. I think nudity is just a beautiful thing. It's often nice to look at. Mm-hmm. You know, not always, but you know, it depends who you're looking at, right? We always take for granted that everybody naked is going to look like a model, but that's not the case. So,
I don't know.
It's better that people keep their clothes on.
Right. I think it should be much less stigmatized. And I think it is. I mean, nowadays, look at all the stars who have had nude photos leaked. I mean, nobody really cares anymore. You know?
That's true.
And I don't think they should care because this is, first of all, it's most likely a crime or some kind of blackmail going on, hacking or whatever. And why should they be made to feel bad about it? Right. Like, it's your body, own it. Big deal.
Exactly. Everybody's got the same things.
Right, yeah. Right. I completely agree. So, I don't know. Should it be a dream from when you were a child? That's debatable. You know, to each his own, I guess, maybe. Hey.
I know, but I mean, I've heard several people say that. So
really?
Yeah. But they say no more full frontal nudity, I guess. So, no more, what do you call it, hoochie, right? No more hoochie for the Gucci.
No more lower half. Okay, well, fair enough, I guess. But it's funny to me that they made that change, to be honest, because we're going so much in the other direction.
Yeah, but what they did say is because there's so much free porn easily available online and stuff,
okay,
that they can't compete with it, really, that nobody looks at Playboy for the nudity anymore.
Well, that's, so I can see that.
So they decided to do that, but... at the same time, so now they're just going to be more like, when you think about it, more like those Maxim and,
sure,
and you know, those men's magazines that are with models but are dressed.
Right.
They have something on.
Right.
And they're going to focus more on the stories, I guess. You know?
I guess so.
Yeah. And they're going to use better quality paper, I guess they're saying. So we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see what it's like now, but... I don't see how they're going to distinguish themselves from any other magazine.
Right. Maybe
obviously it comes down to the content again, but
yeah, I guess so. I mean, it seems like they're going to be focusing more on that because what would the draw be?
Exactly.
Then really,
I know. We'll put pictures of Hugh Hefner on the front.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would sell a million copies.
Also, Apple, I guess, was ordered to pay $626 million in damages after finding that iMessage, FaceTime, and other Apple software infringed on another company's patents.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This company is labeled the Patent Troll. And what those are is companies that are buying up patents. And then when someone infringes on them, they sue them.
That is terrible.
Right?
I hate that. And you know what? Yeah. I kind of had on a much smaller scale experience with that. But, you know, if somebody's name is Googled, you know, frequently.
Right.
Trolls like that will come buy up the .com addresses of their name, and that happened to me. So I couldn't get like KelseyBolin.com.
Really?
I had to get KelseyBolin.net. Yeah. So that's just...
Your name somebody took.
Right. Wow. Right. So I mean, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's do something productive for the world.
Maybe people are betting on you to succeed and be a star, you know, so that it'll be worth a lot of money.
Maybe.
I remember when the internet just started and, you know, nobody had a website or anything. I remember there was a guy that owned like Coca-Cola.com and they had to pay him a lot of money to buy the name from him.
Oh my gosh.
Things like that, you know. But there's a lot of stories about domain names and stuff, you know. I mean, imagine the person that bought sex.com, you know. How
right.
could you even be the first one to get it, right?
I know.
But it was before the days of the web, you know, when
right.
the internet was just so new.
Can you imagine?
Nobody knew anything.
And then all of a sudden you have this like incredibly sought after.
Exactly. The most expensive domain name ever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And it's gone through a lot of transitions. I don't know what they're doing on there now. But, I mean, I remember the early days with adult sites and stuff. All that mattered was the traffic. The content doesn't matter at all because it's the traffic that's worth money. Because
mm-hmm.
people will pay for clicks and things like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, so those... so, like a sex.com or a porn.com or whatever, any of those were called like type-in domains because people, before there was Google and everything, people, rather than search, would just type in whatever they wanted, .com, right?
Oh, how interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so people would type in and you didn't even have to advertise. So you would attract people to your website just with a name.
If you were one of the lucky ones to get...
Exactly. So some people were lucky, but other smarter people bought it from them
right.
for little money. and then sold it for a few million dollars.
Wow.
You know, and all these sites, they didn't even have to put a picture there. They just put links.
Right.
And that's it. But making millions of dollars.
I know. But somebody in Apple is in trouble, I'm sure, for not having checked up on the infringement.
Yeah. Well, the thing is this, is that apparently Apple was ordered to pay $368 million in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Right? But Apple appealed. Now, after the appeal, they have to pay three times as much.
You're kidding.
Or two times as much. Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
Because the judge decided that they actually willfully violated the company's patents.
Oh.
That's a new jury, actually, not a judge. But, yeah. So that they willfully did that. So go figure what's going on. But
that's
that company stands to make a big dent.
I know. I wonder what it was, what the patent was.
Oh, like I said, the iMessage and the FaceTime and things like that. Ways to communicate on the phone, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Real-time communications. They had a few patents that they had bought from some companies before. So that's that. So you got to be careful, man. People will sue you for anything.
Yes, they will.
Even
oh
if you're
gosh.
Apple. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks to David Cruz for calling in from Millionaire Matchmaker. Check out Spritzer, the app. Match your friends. And if I have friends out there with the app, please match me.
Yes, and go to the Sofitel on Saturday.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Kelsey, thanks as always.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.